Your reaction, Dr. Ford?
Well, I mean, COVID is in the region. We are all at risk, and I wish him good health and you know, a healthy outcome. And I hope that none of us will get it if that's possible, but we have to keep the protocols going. Mm. Never good news.
Never good news at all. That. All right. So we await the announcement of Cricket West Indies. Let's go to Sir Clive Hubert-Lloyd. How are you, Sir Clive? Nice to see you. You're looking very comfortable there. Hello, Sir Clive. Are you on your patio? Sir Clive?
Sir Clive is muted.
Sir Clive, we want to hear you. So wonderful. Okay. Sir Clive, are you hearing us? Okay. We're going to try to solve that problem. We can see him. Hello, Sir Clive. How are you? You're muted. We want to hear the big man, the big cat. All right. We seem to be having a little bit of a challenge with him.
Yeah.
But we'll certainly get back to him very, very soon indeed. Yes, Dr. Ford.
Yeah, but I mean, we see what's happened to England and Moeen Ali, and you know, there's also some of the, there's a watch on some of the other England players, and if someone else in the Indian squad were to test COVID positive, it would really possibly cause a delay in the tour and create a lot of difficulties that we wouldn't like to see in cricket, and you know, I guess we have to find ways, just like the NFL is dealing with it, you know, when the playoff games, when the coaches can't make the playoff game, his first playoff game, and some other members. So it's happening in all sports.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
hello, Andrew. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud
yes, we
and
can,
clear.
Sir.
Where were you, Sir Clive? Were you under the bed?
I can hear you. I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
Yes.
The superior instrument I have here, you see? It don't work with sort of, you know, these imperfect things.
Happy New Year to you, Sir Clive. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Governor. I'm in fine fettle.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, staying away from COVID, it's very, very serious. There's been a tremendous spike here in Barbados, and I'm staying indoors like Dr. Ford. How have you been coping, Sir Clive?
Well, we're in lockdown again for probably until February or so. So it's good. You learn a lot of things. Your culinary skills improve, mm-hmm. and you read a lot more books. I have the Obama book to read,
mm-hmm.
so I've got things that keep me busy.
Mm. Do you have a book
I
from
hope
Trump?
You're gaining weight.
Do you have a book from Trump?
No. No, I walk fairly often. I walk every day. And so I'm fine.
All right. Fair
I'm
enough.
Slimmer than Andrew. Let's put it that
way. Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, Sir Clive also as well, we've got on Zoom George Ferris. This is a young man with a very big beard there from St. John's. I don't know if he's from St. John's, Antigua, but of course he's from Antigua. He's joined us, and we really want to say hello to you. How are you, George Ferris? One that almost
Good
played for the best.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Sir Clive.
Good evening to you, sir.
Yes.
By the way, I'm from Erling, same village as Sir Andy Roberts.
Oh, yeah, from Erling. Wow. All right. Well, I've got to buy some land down there. I would imagine it's pretty expensive because you and Sir Andy would have come from there.
Well, because Sir Andy, not me.
How have you been doing, though? What part of the world are you, George Ferris?
I've been living in Orlando for the past 26 years. I'm doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, with the COVID, I got to work from home. It's quite convenient for me, you know. Don't have to go out. No exposure out there, so I'm good.
And you've been quite naturally following West Indies cricket?
Oh, yes. Every day, you know, I have to sometimes make sure that my blood pressure is normal before I start to watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Very serious. Sir Clive, let's come back to you now, Sir Clive. The guys are going off to Bangladesh. You expect the West Indies to do well in Bangladesh, Sir Clive?
Well, I would think that all the youngsters, I find it so strange that every other country their players are playing in the T20 games, but they still want to play for their country. But our guys seem to be able, you know, I don't think they don't seem to want to play the longer game, which is a bit unfortunate. Because if, you know, we have 5 million people just over in the West Indies, and if we can lose 10 players, it deflates the side. I hope that the youngsters who are going mm-hmm. will now get that chance to prove themselves. And if they do, the board would have to stick with them. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit disappointed that the young Holder boy was not chosen, because mm-hmm. Shimon Holder, don't want to take people on tours where the wickets are all bouncy and flying around. I think he would probably learn. He had a good little spell in New Zealand, and he would learn to bowl on flat wickets. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you probably would get a lot of experience. So I really thought that they made a little mistake there.
Mm-hmm. And are you surprised, Sir Clive? You come to you, George, admit that they're carrying three left-arm spinners in Pamal. Of course, you've got Warwick and Hodge can also bowl left-arm spin. Does that surprise you, Sir Clive?
Well, yeah, I don't see why you need the two left-arm spinners and an off-spinner you would have that at Holder's a little backup. Three left-arm spinners, I don't know, they probably know more than I do at the moment that left-arm spinners get wickets against the Bangladeshi. I'm not, you know, they play spin well. They're a young side and they're doing fairly well. And it should be a good contest if we can, you know, get our players to play to the best of their ability and play five-day cricket. We can't just go out and play T20 cricket in 5 days. No, that's not it. As I said, the T20 is an exhibition and the test match is an examination. So the point is concentration. You're going to do well when you can concentrate. All the great players have done well because of their concentration and applying themselves to the task.
Dr. Ford?
All right. Sir Clive? Yes. Well, I guess maybe I should ask George a question. George, I've looked at your career and you spent a lot of time in the UK and you seem to have been a very good fast bowler. Tell us a little bit about your career in the UK.
Well, I played for Leicestershire County Cricket Club for about 8 seasons. I started when I was about 19 and went through until 1990. And I played a couple of years after that in the leagues. But I, you know, really enjoyed my time at Leicestershire. Didn't get as much opportunities that I thought I should have. Maybe because we had Sir Andy Roberts at one point and then Winston Benjamin. Because Winston was a better batter than I, he really got most of the time to play at Leicestershire. So even though I didn't get much opportunity, I did enjoy myself. I learned a lot from the guys I played with and in the English condition. Bowled against some of the great batsmen of the world, Sir Clive. I played against him once at Lancashire, at Old Trafford. The great Jeff Boycott, Graham Gooch, Alan Lamb, Peter Willey, all these guys. And it was a great experience.
What was your biggest achievement, you'd say, in your career?
Well, even talking about my career best, I had 7 for 48 or something like that against Glamorgan at Hinckley. And I was voted, I got a gold award in a Benston Hedges semi-final against Warwickshire with the likes of Alvin Kalicharan in the batting lineup. So I enjoyed those two.
You did. Wonderful. Fantastic. Wonderful, yes. Man. And of course, when you check the records, you would have, George Ferris played here back in 1983. And your first wicket was not Dr. Ford or even Sir Clive Boyd. It was another Sir, Gordon Greenidge. That's a big, big snap, a big fish there.
That's a whale. Not just a fish. That's a whale. That's a big one. That's something that I'll always remember.
Yes.
However, he wasn't happy in the way that he got out. I was very nervous. I perspire a lot in my hands, especially when I'm nervous. And I never thought I would ever play against these great men. I used to be listening to my radio, hearing these guys, you know, playing cricket all in India, England, all over the world. Mm. And then I got the opportunity at age 18 to play against the great Sir Gordon Greenidge.
Mm.
And I was nervous. He got a full toss. He ducked into it. And Sir Richard Richardson caught him at short leg. So I'm sorry. he said I beamed him. Yeah, he insisted that I beamed him, but it wasn't intentional. I'm not a type of guy.
No.
I don't bowl to hurt people.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes batsmen do get hurt.
And if you.
Because they come in pairs, remember, you got to remember, I got Desmond Haynes too. So it's not just.
You got Desmond Haynes as well.
Sir Gordon. Oh, yeah.
And Carl Albest too?
I can remember one time. He was. Carl Albest. Well, his stump was knocked about 10 miles. Kensington Oval.
Really? I like that one.
Yeah, he left stump.
And I,
yeah.
I and if you were older, you would have bowled at Sir Clive.
Yes, I bowled at Sir Clive twice. Once at Warner Park.
Really?
When he was playing for Guyana, and once at Old Trafford. Never got him out though. That would have been a great.
Oh, that would you mean you mean the left handers are difficult to bowl to?
Yes.
I like that, Sir Clive. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
But yeah, his bat was too broad for me.
Yes. But Sir Clive, you know, when you talk about, and perhaps we can lead in now to fast bowling, because, I mean, George Ferris is one that I think now would walk into West Indies side, along with Anthony Merritt. Do you remember that combination, Sir Clive, of Merritt and Ferris, bowling quickly for the Leewards?
Well, yes, I think he was just after, I think I was just about nearly finished when, but I knew about him, and they did say he bowled, he was fairly sharp. Yes, I suppose that he probably came at a time when we had a lot of fast bowlers around, and you know, so he did probably didn't get a chance. But, you know, it is obvious that he did very well if he played, for, you know, having played for Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I can't recall, you know, but I did, they did tell me that he was fairly sharp.
Mm-hmm. Now, so Clive, why is it that you, in your time, would have had these bowlers being so sharp? I mean, you would have played with some very quick bowlers, and nowadays, we're struggling to find fast bowlers. Can you explain this? Why is it?
Well, I think it's the pitches. If you look at the squares we have, they're not, you know, we have about two or three pitches. In England, they have 14. Old Trafford have about 12, you know, pitches that they, and they can groom them in the sense that they can, like in Australia, they had the dropping pitches, and they had chicken wire throughout the length of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That meant the grass grew evenly, and it was cut nicely. It was groomed, and you can get the type of pitch that you want. The point is that we don't seem to prepare pitches that are lively. When I say lively, but it's good for both batters and bowlers. You go to a place like Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good. It's quick, but it's good for the batters too. Once you get in, you can play through the line. You can play on the up. You know. Barbados in the old days was a very good wicket to bowl on for the first day and a half. Jamaica, the second day was always very quick. So you had pitches that were fairly lively. I'm not so sure. I think Sir Wes Hall said that in the West Indies we have groundsmen, but in the other countries, they're curators.
Oh, that, interesting.
That, what he's saying is that the pitch that you prepare should be like your garden.
Mm.
You should know every inch of it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to prepare a fast wicket or a slow wicket or a turner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like at Old Trafford now, the practice pitches, they have guys who look after the practice pitches. That's their job. To make sure that it's nice, even, got good bounce. And the test match wickets, pitches, are prepared by another set of guys. So they've put effort into making sure that all the pitches are well prepared and well looked after.
I see. Now,
and I think that's what we need in the West Indies.
Right. George, your view, I mean, why do you think we're not producing fast bowlers anymore? Like in the old days?
Well, as Sir Clive said, the pitches are not suitable for fast bowling. And as you know, as a fast bowler, and you're not seeing your ball hitting the wicketkeeper's glove hard, it discourages you. If you try to bowl a bouncer, and the batsman is hitting it back at you or hitting you forward of square, it kills your spirit. You don't want to come back next day. And another thing, fast bowling is very hard. It's not easy work. So a lot of the youngsters don't want to be running up and down in the hot sun, you know, bowling fast constantly. You know, so it's a challenge.
And not only that, it hampers the batter too. If the batter is just accustomed to slow pitches, when he goes abroad, it's alien to him.
Oh, I see.
So you have to have the same situation. That's why I think it's important that our players do use the machine, the bowling machine, as part of their practice session.
Oh, interesting. You agree with that, George?
I'm totally in agreement with that. I'm totally in agreement with that. The batters, I don't believe that they face enough fast bowlers. So when they're in a match situation facing the likes of Cummins, the likes of Southie, all these guys, it becomes strange to them. And they have difficulty coping with the bounce, with the pace, and the movement. So I think that we need to get at least two bowling machines in each territory, in each island, so that these guys could have access, get more practice, get accustomed to the fast pace. You know, because I think that they can set those bowling machines up to 140 Ks, something like that.
Yes, they can. Yes, indeed.
Yes, so that would be good. Because if you're not accustomed to it, when you're going to the match, it's going to be strange to you. And then you're going to lose your wicket. And plus, you may get intimidated. And you can't get runs when you're intimidated.
Just before Dr. Ford comes in, we're going to take some calls. 4341790, give us a call. And we're also going to pause for business because it heads to 7:29, so we've got another half an hour left on the show. So you can call us 4341790. But before we do that, let's pause for business because Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch. Are you going something? So run and get your ticket. Scratch. Scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch. Barbados Lottery. Scratch. So run and get your ticket. Scratch. Scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch. Barbados Lottery. Scratch. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch Barbados Lottery.
All right. Let's continue our discussion. Of course, you can give us a call, 4341-790. And get involved in the discussion. Now, we had some pitches, George Ferris, in New Zealand. We call them the green tops. And our bowlers were not able to utilize those conditions. I can't imagine that New Zealand, and this question is for Sir Clive as well, would have prepared those types of pitches for some of the great fast bowlers of the past. George, and then Sir Clive.
That would never happen. If New Zealand had prepared pitch for our great fast bowlers, the like of Sir Robert, the late great Mr. Marshall, old Mr. Holding, and the likes, I don't think they would make 150. There's no way. Our bowlers were inconsistent with their line and length. They were either too full or too short, and they were given too much width. They were not letting the batsmen play enough. They were supposed to be attacking top of off stump. Let the batsmen play. Let them play all the time, but we're giving them... We're happy with them leaving the ball alone, you know. And, you know, to me, we were putting the batsman in form. Half volleys, you just get the batsman right in form. Come on.
So, Clive, those pitches look good for bowling in New Zealand.
Well, in New Zealand, it's like England. They have a lot of pitches where some grasses left on them, and they're conducive to fast bowling. And New Zealand, you know, Sir Richard Hadley and Bond, the fellow Bond.
Yeah, very quick.
He was sharp. And the point is that they're now preparing pitches for their bowlers getting a bit of purchase from it. And the batters are getting accustomed to playing against faster bowlers. And that's what we have to do. When I was 19 or 20, I got 100, my first 100 for Guyana against Barbados. And the second innings, it was Sir Charlie Griffith. I don't know, Wes didn't play. Garfield Sobers.
Oh, good bowling.
Prof Edwards.
Prof Edwards was a sharp, yeah.
When I made the 100, I came and I sat in the pavilion there and outside. And I'm thinking, well, hey, you know, you can't be that bad. You've just now played against a couple of the guys who just demolished England.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you that sort of confidence when you play against guys of that nature. In my time, against Barbados, you have 4 quicks. You had Hall and Griffith and Sobers and Prof Edwards. And he was sharp, too. Guyana, you had Stairs, Legault, Gibbs, Mohammed. And, you know, another sort of semi-medium pacer. And then you had my military medium. So, you know, that was less pace. But then you had Trinidad, where you had a bit of swing and spin. Jamaica had a couple of quick bowlers at the time and good spin with Barrett and one or two others. And so your all-round cricket was taken care of. You weren't short of pace. You weren't short of spin. Mm-hmm. You weren't short of swing bowling. And that is what we're lacking in our cricket, is that, you know, the variety is not there. And we need to get guys who can bowl quick or who want to bowl quick and prepare pitches of that nature.
Doctor?
So, Sir Clive, I know you, in your heyday, you would have overseen a diet of spin, but looking at the way we take our teams now to the subcontinent, we are depending heavily on spin and just and balancing it with pace. Is it that the pacers have got worse, or is it that our spinners have got better? And I think you can answer the question because you've had some experience in the selection panel as well.
I think we have pace. You have 3 guys there who can bowl fairly sharp. Right? You have one who's now just had the COVID thing. These guys need to play in those countries where you're not going to be that helpful, and you learn to bowl a better line and length. You have Gabriel, you have the young man from
Joseph.
Gary Joseph. You know, you have Shimar Holder. You have 3 guys there who are really sharp. I am not so sure that our spinners, the point is about our spinners, our players in the West Indies do not use the feet to them. Nobody goes down. You see, if you're playing against Australia, since the ball is left your hand, Ponting is down the wicket, trying to hit you or slog, sweep or whatever. And it's a challenge for them when they get out there because our players don't do that. So that is why I'm thinking, if these guys start to get aggressive, our players are not accustomed to that. I hope that they don't sort of falter in that that area, because our players do not attack them, and that's why they play them from the crease, and that is why they get quite a lot of wickets. But when people are using their feet, they have different bowlers.
But do we have more slow bowlers rather than spinners now?
You have slow bowlers, but you need wicket takers.
All right.
The point is, we had our best team when we had Roger Harper with the 4 quicks. If it was turning, Roger Harper get you 4 or 5.
Okay.
And even on the dead pitches, someone like Croft will be disconcerting. He he would getting it up into your neck, into your, you know.
Yes.
So the point is that our bowlers, our fast bowlers, bowl well on any type of wicket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We played in Pakistan. Imran bowled the first over, and the left-arm spinner bowled the second over. This is the starting of a test. So you know that it's a turner that they've prepared. But we still won the game. We beat them there for the first time. Our bowlers, they weren't deterred by slow pitches.
Mm.
And I think that is what our youngsters have to learn, to bowl on pitches that are not responsive. Dennis Lilly, when he realizes that the pitch is not helping, he'll cut his run down so that and bowl, you know, a different type of cutters and so on, and sort of make you think about your game. So does Richard Hadley, Andy Roberts, Michael Holding, Malcolm Marshall, Joel Garner. All these guys have learned to bowl on wickets that are unresponsive. And I think if we're going to just rest people because the wickets are not responsive, then, you know, something is wrong. You know, you don't, when you go out to bat in a test match and the pitch is turning, you don't give up. That's the time you fight. Our batters too have got to learn to bat ugly. Get 80 runs when it's turning or bouncing, and that will be like 140 on a normal day. That is what our players need to do. Think big. This is the time that if these youngsters get going, fill your boots. You have a chance of now playing for the West Indies for a long time. And we have to be more, as a captain, we're changing captains and we're changing players. There's no consistency. We have to be consistent. You have to have a settled side. We had a rough time in Australia, but the point is we regrouped. And the same guys came together and learned to win. And, you know, when the chips are down, that's when you begin to fight. And we've had those situations. We learned to win during those periods. And don't forget when our players, those the great ones now, Greenidge and Haynes and Richards and so on, they hadn't played a lot of test cricket. Viv hadn't played a test match. Gordon hadn't played a test match. Desmond Haynes hadn't played a test match. Larry Gomes hadn't played a test match. So these are guys that learned their cricket together.
Okay.
We have to build a side. And until we do so, consistently, if we have guys who are saying, well, I'm not playing this tour, I'm not going in another, you know, no, we can't do that. Bangladesh might just say, no, it's our turn to come. No, I don't think we'll be coming. Mm-hmm. We'll only send a second team. No, they wouldn't be doing that. They will send their best team, because we have to understand playing here for your country is the ultimate. That's what we have to believe and believe in ourselves.